This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Hello, I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. The federal gas tax has not been changed for 20 years. It has been stuck at 18.4 cents for gasoline, 24.4 cents for diesel. Why does that matter? Because while the tax hasn't gone up, the cost of maintaining the infrastructure in this country certainly has. For the millions of miles of roads we have all across the United States of America, somebody's got to pay to repair them. And the idea of the gas tax was, well, if you drive a car, you're going to be using gas, and you're the one who should be paying to fix the roads. But the cost of that tax has not kept up with the cost of repairing those roads. So there's talk now about doing something about that. And we also have discussions about the people who are driving hybrids and electrics. They're using less gasoline, but driving the same number of miles or perhaps even more. So they're using the roads, but they're paying less to subsidize that infrastructure. Should that be changed? Here to talk about all this is Matthew Gardner, who's the Executive Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Matthew, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What kind of changes should we make?
Well, I think you pointed out the main problem, which is that our gas taxes are simply too low to pay for the construction needs we require. If we'd indexed our gas tax for inflation for the past 20 years, the federal gas tax would be 40% higher right now. Construction costs are growing, the gas tax is not. So the very first step, and it's not a popular thing to say, but the very first step needs to be to hike the gas tax. This means at the federal level, this means in most states, just to pay for the things we've said we want to pay for. The second step, I think, ought to be not just making up for the losses of the past 20 years, but towards sustainability. That means thinking about indexing things for inflation so that the tax will continue to grow automatically with prices over time. And it also does mean, I think, thinking a little bit about alternatives to the gas tax. You mentioned this hybrid approach, which I think is worth talking about. But, you know, first things first. We've been very averse as a nation to talking about gas tax hikes. It's time that we take them seriously.
Yeah, it's hard to get politicians to say we can raise the tax on anything. But, of course, what they've been doing in the meantime is getting some extra money through fees, which is not the same as a tax in a politician's brain, right?
Absolutely. I think there's, you know, if you asked most people, and certainly if you asked elected officials what has been happening policy-wise with the gas tax, they'd say, we're not doing anything. We're just leaving things the way they are. Yep. And that's untrue for two reasons. One is that really what the gas tax does every year is it falls a little bit. Our gas tax has declined in inflation-adjusted terms federally every year, a little bit at a time for the last 20 years. So that's half of what's wrong. The second thing is that, you know, it's not like we're not paying for this stuff. People are just finding less visible nickel and dime-ish ways of paying for it. So we're all paying slightly higher fees. At the state level, a number of states are simply taking money away from education and healthcare and other areas and using that for transportation. That's neither smart nor sustainable.
I agree. And when you look at the state of our roads and particularly our bridges, you would think that the incident in Washington State a couple of weeks ago would have sparked another discussion about how to pay for our infrastructure, but it hasn't. One of the ideas that I've heard discussed in this area is instead of taxing the gas, taxing the miles. What do you think of those proposals?
Well, people call it a vehicle miles tax, and the idea really boils down to having a transponder in your car. You know, as people conceptualize it right now, you'd have to have a transponder in your car that's recording every mile you go. On the one hand, the miles you travel absolutely corresponds to the use you get out of the highway system. And so you think of if you think of the gas tax as a user fee, a vehicle mile tax is going to be that. But there are a couple of problems with it. One is privacy. You know, I don't think we're in a place as a nation where a lot of people are prepared to accept having a transponder in their car that will record where you go and when you went there and how far you drove and in which different state. Although I don't know, maybe the NSA is already doing that. but hey, they're not going to share it with the IRS, right? So
right.
And so there are real privacy concerns, and so in the long run, it might be something to talk about, but we're just not there yet. The other problem is just that a straightforward vehicle miles fee would say that a hybrid or an electric car or an 18-wheeler or a regular old SUV would pay the same per mile traveled. And so in its simplest form, that seems kind of absurd. We know that heavy trucks place a much bigger burden on roads. You know, they wear down faster when 18-wheelers are driving on them than when a tiny little Fiat is driving on them. So you need some way of being sensitive for that. You need some way of preserving the incentive to use fuel-efficient cars.
Yeah, well, maybe it would have to be geared towards the weight of the vehicle or something like that. I have no problem if I have a car that weighs the same as my neighbor's car, but I have a hybrid and they have a regular internal combustion gas engine, and we both use the roads and we're both hurting the roads the same amount, so we should both pay the same amount. What's wrong with that?
Not too much. Certainly the miles you drive for something of the same weight, a vehicle miles tax is going to be a reasonable way of getting there. But you're going to need to think in a sophisticated way as a policymaker about differentiating between the heavy vehicles and the light vehicles.
No,
a lot of the proposals out there don't do that.
You just made it impossible. You wanted our policymakers to think in a sophisticated way, Matthew. That's crazy talk.
Well, you know, I think policymakers do understand at the end of the day that the gas tax is too low, that we're just not bringing in enough money to pay for things. And what makes it much easier for them to go forward with sensible revenue-raising proposals, whether it's just hiking the gas taxes or one of these alternative approaches, is when they hear from the Chamber of Commerce, from labor unions, you know, two very different groups, both of which benefit from having a sustainable transportation system.
Yep.
When you hear from these different sectors that they need this revenue in the system so they can drive with confidence around the state, that's what gives policymakers the confidence to go forward with these proposals.
And, all right. Now we mentioned the hybrid tax. Virginia has lowered its fuel tax and raised a $64 fee on hybrids and electrics. North Carolina is talking about a $100 a year fee for electric-only cars like the Nissan Leaf or the Tesla vehicles, $50 for hybrids and plug-ins. Is that the way to go, to tax a Prius differently from a Chevy?
Well, I hesitate to give it too much credence as it's being discussed in Virginia and North Carolina right now because it's kind of a sideshow. The proposal in North Carolina would raise $1.5 million a year, which is, even in North Carolina, is just a drop in the bucket. At the federal level, you wouldn't even notice it, but it's just not much money and won't solve their short-term problems.
Yeah.
Having said that, if the reality is that electric cars are simply not paying any per-gallon tax at all, and they're still using the roads, then some modest tax on these alternative cars makes sense. It's just not going to be the answer in the short run to our transportation finance problems.
What about putting tolls back on the roads in places where they don't exist now?
Tolls are another user fee that absolutely makes sense in terms of when you think about the interstate system, these big roads. The difficulty is that it's very hard to make them universal unless you're going to get it all electronic, the iPads sort of thing. And until you get that way, you're going to have a very irregular system of taxing people by the mile. People who are willing to go that extra mile out of the way or who just don't live in a neighborhood where there are tolled roads are going to get a comparatively free ride.
Yeah. I'm thinking about these fees that they want to put on hybrid vehicles. If you live in a border area, like let's say you live in Illinois, but you work in St. Louis, Missouri, or you live in New Jersey, but you drive into New York, or any of the other places where you cross a state border, you may be paying a fee to your state to drive on the roads of an adjacent state.
That's true. And, you know, I mean, that's true of almost any tax you pay. You know, if you cross over the border and buy something at a 7-Eleven, you're going to pay a little sales tax on that as well. And of course, the federal gas tax doesn't really, the distribution of gas tax money across the states is not pegged 100% to where you're paying the tax, where people are. So,
going to have to be some serious discussions about this going forward. There are certainly options, and like you said, we need sophisticated thinking on this. I would hope that at our state legislatures and at the federal level, we can do it. Matthew, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Matthew Gardner from the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, here with Paul Harris on America Weekend.
America Weekend.